Welcome to Things That Will Help with Buffy Barfoot. This podcast explores what it's like to be human and how to find tools to feel clear, grounded, and happier. The weekly theme will be simple as well as rich and something you can apply to your real life. The human stories ahead do not negate the hard or the dark, but rather point to the lighthouses along the way. This is Buffy. Hey, everybody. My heart is still really heavy from losing Andrew and the shock and the tragedy surrounding that. And I've been fighting depression over the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to be transparent about that because I think it's helpful sometimes to know what's true, what's underneath. But also, I wanted to share with you how I find these topics and follow the grain of what is authentic. And so I have been super blue and not really sure what to talk to you guys about. And then I remembered this story from years ago. I had a student who was teaching yoga, and she had a weekly class and a big following every week. And this woman, the student, had been dating somebody for a long time. She was in love. And this man that she was in love with got another woman pregnant during their relationship. And it was super intense, super hard, and kind of public. And the morning that the baby was born, she was still dating this man. And she called me and said, "What am I supposed to do about today's class? Like, what am I supposed to theme on or talk about? Like, how in the world can I teach yoga when this is happening in my world?" And I said to her something like, "Well, you're going to teach on the hamstrings, or you're going to teach something concrete and helpful. And I think you shouldn't try to make sense of this thematically in your classes today. I think it's too much." So I encouraged her to offer something simple and clear, medicinal, and a little bit removed from the storm inside of her story. And so she did. And so I will, this episode, do my version of that. I have been steering my heart towards some very practical things that I know will support my nervous system, dealing with deep grief, but also going into the holidays and the colder weather, and just thinking about the whole year in a seasonal way and how supportive that can be. So today, I'm going to specifically talk about what to do in terms of self-care as we move into cooler months, and how different self-care looks depending on where we are in the calendar year. So I'm going to talk about fall and winter during this episode, and when spring emerges, I'll do a spring and summer episode that I think you'll love. I'm going to talk about this from an Ayurvedic perspective, from a metaphorical perspective, nutrition-wise and also movement-wise, and kind of braiding that all together to support you. I just want to do a quick and kind of elementary basic overview of the doshas and what they are to help support this conversation. So the ancient health science of Ayurveda is built around the five elements of ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And the combo of these elements join up to make the doshas. And dosha is another word for constitution. And those three are vata, pitta, and kapha. And each dosha has a number of corresponding qualities that manifest in the physical, emotional, and mental aspects of each one of us, each human being. And all of us have some aspects of each dosha, but usually one or two of the doshas tend to float to the surface with each person to dominate, kind of informing everything from our digestion all the way to our emotions. And once you know your dosha or your constitution, it's going to help you understand your body's blueprint and kind of how to better take care of yourself in each season. So from this Ayurvedic perspective, it's super helpful to take a dosha quiz and find out, like you can take a little online test to find out which one you are. We're going to put that in the show notes because it's really super interesting to know and helpful in this conversation. As the months get cooler, of course, the trees and plants are releasing their green, dissolving and shedding their leaves, and in the process of dying. And so when we mirror Mother Nature, we can think about ourselves and our stories and think about shedding and surrendering anything that is no longer useful to us, shedding the old to make space for the new, which is a really beautiful and cathartic way to think of it. And also, this shedding is lightening our energetic load and could be a profound letting go. And at the same time, as the months start getting progressively cooler, it's like a gathering. Fall is a gathering. It's late harvest. It's collecting the last of the food to bring in. It's a time where I really love to pile up the books I want to read, gather a lot of books and reading material for the coming cold. And I like to consider what it is I want to study, what it is I want to burrow into and write about. And for every single season, I do a few certain things. Every season, I clean off my altar, I start over, I pull everything off, I dust it and oil it down, and then I place intentional things back onto it. I refresh my focus on what it is I want to bring in, spiritually and physically and all the other things, and what matters to me. And on a really practical level, I do the same thing with my refrigerator, my food pantry, and my clothes closet. As it becomes colder, I layer and I take, even when it's cold and I don't want to go outside, because I'm still Southern at heart, I layer up and I push myself to go and take really brisk walks every day because I love the crunch of the leaves and the remainder of kind of like what the plants and the trees are losing. I love the way that feels underneath my feet and the reminder of the life cycle. And this time of year, as the months start getting cooler, I rededicate myself to meditation. Because sometimes summer, I get off track because summer has this like really expansive, sort of sprawly, non-routined feeling, which is fun and playful. But fall has a narrowing quality for me, which is like a coming back home, coming back to home and hearth. When it gets colder, I stretch first thing in the morning to get my blood flowing, and then later in the evenings, I tend to kind of cover up with weighted blankets and rest and restore and have quieter, more sedentary spaces for myself. I like to dress in bright, warm colors like reds and oranges. I try to cover my chest and my neck with scarves, cover my ears with hats if I'm outside in the cold, so I stay warm on the inside. I do love naps, but I tend to skip daytime naps when it starts to get colder because I try to go to bed a little bit earlier and unwind quicker in the evenings, so I'm not staying up quite as late. I encourage you to eat seasonally, eat locally, and of course this idea is rooted in the philosophy of Ayurveda to follow the food in terms of the seasons. Boost your immunity. Drink elderberry syrup every day, even preventatively, even if you don't feel sick. Fire cider I drink every day. Lots of warm lemon water to support your immune system and kind of cleanse your body. Another thing that I think is really important to think about during this time of year as the months get colder is staying connected to community. As it gets cold, especially if you're an introvert, we tend to isolate more. And I think some of that is really natural and needed and important. It still is essential to remain connected to your close circle so that you don't get overly lonely. Up-level your hand washing. And this is really interesting to know and to think about. The cold months are actually the time when the digestive fire is the strongest. So the body, our bodies require more fuel, more food to stay warm and healthy in the colder months. And this cold weather kind of forces the fire principle deep inside the core of the body, which ignites the digestive capacity, which is super cool. So our bodies are craving like a more substantial, nutritious, sort of heavier, denser diet at this time of year. And so you're going to likely find yourself eating more. And not only is that okay, it's good. It's natural and supportive to gain a little weight in the winter. It's this body, it's the body's way of insulating and supporting you better. So really allow for this and celebrate this. As the cold comes in, focus on things like root vegetables, like squashes and sweet potatoes and hearty veggies, cooked veggies like spinach and onions and carrots. Are really going to be well received by your body this time of year, using spices like garlic and ginger and black pepper and cayenne and chili peppers to warm up your food and season it up. And also to add things like ghee, like a dollop of ghee or coconut oil to these cooked veggies and rice and khichdis and things like that, avoiding cold, dry foods like salads, avoiding raw veggies. Because even though during the summer months that's really good, raw foods only increase the qualities of coldness and dryness within the body. And as it gets cold outside, we're trying to counterbalance the tendency of dry and cold. So the science of Ayurveda recognizes fall and winter as vata seasons. So we're trying to warm and lubricate, ground and slow in order to soothe this vata tendency. I love doing a lot of warm cereals, like cooked grains, like oatmeal and barley and tapioca, rice. Khichdi is really good. All of this, you know, this makes really good, yummy, hearty breakfasts, even a side of steamed vegetables in the morning with a dollop of ghee or coconut oil on top is great for the morning. Lentils too, making sure that you put some oil on top to soothe the vata. The space between fall and winter, or the space between Thanksgiving and Christmas, is oftentimes when I do a small cleanse. This year, I'm going to do a vegetable juice cleanse, but I'm also going to add a lot of warm bone broth to it. I'm just going to do a 5-day, like the week after Thanksgiving. So that can be a really supportive bridge into the deeper months of winter. I had a wise friend come over the other day, a wise witchy friend, who encouraged me to get a really big thermos, one of those really tall ones, and fill it up with hot water and fresh lemon juice and herbal tea. And she also told me to add a splash of motherwort and mugwort too. But you can kind of customize the herbs you want to add to whatever you need right now. And I've gotten to where I fill this up in the mornings and I carry it where I'm going all day and I sip on it. I sip on this warm concoction all day. And I've noticed that I feel more grounded. I feel warmer and more hydrated and less frazzled overall. So I really encourage you to go out and get a big giant thermos for that. Another fall ritual that I love is starting to add in golden milk in the evenings. I like to use the full fat coconut milk from the can for that, and then spice it with turmeric and nutmeg and clove and cinnamon and a little bit of honey. And they sell the full fat coconut milk in bulk at Costco for a really good price if you're a Costco person. Movement-wise, for the cooler months, I like to establish a routine to make sure that I move and sweat for at least a good chunk each day. Coming off of summer more free form and less routine, fall is kind of when I cinch in and clarify my rituals and routine. I also love to prioritize at this time deep rest and deep work. And of course, what I mean by deep work is like not multitasking, turning off phone, turning off notifications, TV shows, anything like that, and just spending some really concentrated time on my work, on my writing, on my podcasting, on building my curriculum for my teacher trainings, whatever it is your work is, just doing that. And then when that's finished, letting it go and resting. And resting in the form of yoga nidra with weighted blankets is really good during the cooler months. Restorative yoga, lying on a Shakti mat, legs up the wall. Sandbags on your legs are super good for amplifying the parasympathetic nervous system and activating the vagus nerve. So every day I try to move and I make sure that I rest. And at night I turn off my electronics when the sun goes down and light a fire and read and rest. And I tend to go to bed early, the cooler it is. So, this is a time as we move into fall and winter too, that's good for prioritizing deep, slow breath. In winter, I up-level my breathwork practice. Around us, all around us, the natural world is starting to withdraw and it's coming into hibernation and a season of sleep and dormancy and restoration and healing. There's a particular stillness that is characterized with winter, and it comes with this opportunity to redirect our own energies and really become good listeners to what our body's trying to teach us and what nature's trying to teach us. Because in the winter, we go inside more. And in nature, there's movement happening deep under the ground, deep within our own bodies as well. And it's time. It's essential to breathe and rest and reflect and hold space. Make time for imagination and visioning and daydreaming and journaling and sleeping more and withdrawing some of your outwardly focused energy to build up your inner life and your inner fire. Conversely, the quiet, solitude nature of winter, while it's really beautiful and comforting in a lot of ways, it can also be hard and particularly oppressive for those of us who have a tendency towards depression and sadness, and it can leave us feeling heavy and weighted down, or even worse, like hopeless and uninspired. And so I think it's really important to listen and watch and lean in and support ourselves accordingly with these kinds of practical practices that light us up on the inside and continue to give us vitality and bolster us with a sense of well-being. I think because of the colder months' tendency to be heavier, we have to be really conscious about cultivating a light heart and a sense of playfulness and a sharp sense of purpose and counterbalance some of the cold gray weather and the seasonal tendency towards melancholy and sadness with sharpening our listening and really focusing our energy in a very specific way. So not only like thinking about warming up your foods and your spices and your belly and your, you know, all of your cozy things, I like to think about bringing warmth into my mind and into my relationships, into my visioning, and create opportunities where I'm laughing more. I tend to watch more comedies in the winter. I listen to lighter podcasts, read funnier books, because my tendency and lean towards the more serious is pretty real. So I just noticed that and like, how can I lighten my load a little bit today and lighten my heart? I think it's really good as it gets colder to try to avoid rushing and instead embrace the inertia a little bit and embrace the tendency towards a slower and more relaxed pace through the winter months. This is a fantastic time to prune relationships because you're less social in the colder months usually, and to really engage in meaningful relationships, less small talk. If you do socialize, like make it really conscious, and then balance that socializing time with quiet time and reflection and stillness. You know, so give yourself some real retreat during the winter that will end up kind of paying off even in the spring and summer, because that solitude and that deep self-listening will end up being something that you carry with you all year. There's a practice, like a warm oil massage practice in the Ayurvedic tradition called Abhyanga, which is so, so good. I'm going to put a link to this practice in the show notes because it's kind of specific and involved. And you can choose your oil, but it's like there's a certain way that you actually rub your joints and your long bones and all of that. You heat up the oil. This is before your shower. And it's super settling for the nervous system. Every time I do Abhyanga massage, hot oil massage, I feel so relaxed and calm for several days afterwards. So I highly recommend that. And then following that with a warm shower. And even drinking some warm lemon water to activate the digestive system after that shower. So that's a beautiful practice that I'd love for you to try. One of the most medicinal things I have learned and allowed for in my whole life in the past handful of years that has supported my health and well-being is that I treat my body differently depending on the season. And as the world around us changes, so do our needs. And if we were to be able to start tuning into the wild, tuning into the outside in order to take care of ourselves, I think that we'll find that overall we're much happier and healthier. In order to give ourselves the best chance at feeling good, we need to attune ourselves to nature and what's happening outside, because I believe that that's the way that we're meant to thrive. I want to leave you something today that I wrote. I was very depressed last week. I'm still really fighting that, kind of in a foxhole, which is why I chose to do this topic today. And I called my friend Cheyenne to share about that and to share that I was struggling. And the voice message that she sent back to me inspired this piece of writing that I'm going to read to you. And it ultimately lay the foundation for this episode to bring me back on track after some pretty shattering grief. This piece is called Wild. We have lost our wild, the way we used to put our ears close to the ground, feeling the pulse of what was next. We have fallen prey to the constraints of social media that drown our intuition, the constant flow of media that chokes our instinct, and we have forgotten how to howl. Our grief is stuck in the cells of our body because our culture does not allow for wailing by the sea. We do not get lost in the forest anymore because our calendars are too packed to prioritize this kind of assignment. We dampen the desire to thrash and scream and even experience pleasure aloud because that would be too much for most. We have forgotten to follow the grain of the seasons, the animals, the earth, and the moon. I think we may be our most wild when we are first born and then again very late. Ironically, this wild is at the highest potency when our bodies are the least able to act on it, but our minds are less limited by the witness of humans on the sidelines and cultural suffocation when we are very young and very old. I wonder if we are wild enough to change this. I wonder if we could let ourselves unwind these tendrils that have tightened over the years, trying to be good and right and presentable. We like the idea of it, the wild. It is trendy and we watch with curiosity from our wish lists. We order books about the wild, pass around memes, and carry ceramic mugs demonstrating we are wild underneath it all. But the real wild is messy and ragged and not at all polished for public consumption. I think to access it, we may have to crash first and then regroup in the darkened quiet, like the womb, but more conscious and awake to what is next. If we could turn off the electronics and the murmurs all around, the polling and the comparisons, and get incredibly low to the ground, we must reinstate our instinct and derail what is always expected and curated. The wild is a return to listening and not making decisions ahead of where we were being led from the rumbling way underneath. After telling my friend I am depressed and struggling to find a way out, she sent me a voice note, which expanded my lens and gave my heart some space today. She said this: "I am sending you a lot of ground right now and a reminder that somewhere there are elk bugling and there are animals under the ground burrowing and snuggling and keeping each other warm. And that there are so many layers of magic happening out there right now in the holy wild. And that is actually real life. That is actually the real world. Thank goodness for friends like this that point us to the wild when we are not clear of the way." My patron of honor this week is Betsy Cochran. Betsy says this: "My favorite quote is that of Leonard Cohen. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." As a person who for so long felt I had to cover up the cracks, I embrace this with my whole heart. It is so true. The light and the breath are my cornerstones. I am a yogi and a runner and a mom and now a grandma. Moma is my grandmother name. I am a textile artist and primarily a quilter. I do make custom quilts, mostly for babies, but I do not have a website. I can be reached by email or text if anyone is interested. Thank you, Betsy. And thank you to all my patrons for believing in me and contributing to the production of this podcast. I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening, all of my listeners. If you would like to become a patron of this podcast, please see the show notes for the link to our Patreon. And I hope that you have a gorgeous day and that you're taking good care of yourself. Thank you so much.